Thank you so much for being here this morning and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Your presence here is an encouragement to everyone. But more importantly, we have come together and everyone seems to be prepared in heart and mind that when it comes time to sing, we sing. And we sing praise to God. When it comes time to pray, we pray together. Our observance of the Lord's Supper, very quiet and very solemn. The giving of our means and every act of worship seems to be taken serious, and that's the way it ought to be. And we're encouraged, or I'm encouraged, by your diligent efforts in being here. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Whether the fish is biting or the golf course is dried off good, it doesn't matter. You've chosen to be here because you put God first, and that's important, and we're encouraged by it. Pam's with me this trip, and it's always good to have a co-pilot with me. I was telling them the other day that we're going to have to get a third person now to help us drive. While I'm looking off the road, she's trying to tell me which way to go, and I can't hear any good anymore. So when she tells me something, I have to say, "Hun, you can wreck by the time you say, huh." And so we need somebody to sort of sit between us and relay the messages back and forth. But it's good to be here, and we really enjoy coming here and being encouraged by you. We appreciate the years that you have supported us in our work at McRoberts, and it's so important for us to come and to be able to be with you. But I want you to know as well that even though we're not here, but maybe once a year, sometimes a more frequent than that, but we appreciate so much your help and the opportunity that the elders has given us to continue our work at McRoberts. And now they've invited me to come down, and so we're going to study together for a few minutes this morning. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 10. We're going to begin our reading there. And as we study this particular lesson this morning, we're going to look at some characters that are described on the Jericho Road, and we're going to, of course, study by comparison, look at their characters as compared to ours, and what we can learn from their inabilities or their wrongdoing, and how sometimes it compares to us. And so hopefully you'll follow along. Hopefully I'll not be too confusing. As the brothers already said, if I say something that you don't agree with, something that maybe I cut off a half a sentence and you'd like for me to finish, or something you just disagree with me on, you're not going to hurt my feelings at all. After the meeting is over, I'll be at back in the back here, and just let me know. Be glad to study with you. It's not a lesson that will do anything, hopefully, but challenge us in our closer walk with God. If you're there to Luke chapter 10, note in verse 25, a certain lawyer comes and he asks him, "Teacher, what should I do that I would have eternal life?" Now, there's a comparing accounts in Matthew and Mark as well, but we're looking at Luke 10 at verse 25. And Jesus explains to him in the next few verses what's written in the law, and have you kept that? And Jesus says in verse 27, he says, "You shall love your Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbors yourself." And he answered, and he said to him, "Do this, and you live." And he, wanting to justify himself, verse 29, said to Jesus, "Well, who's my neighbor?" Now, if you notice in the closing of verse 27, which I skipped, it says, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbors yourself." It expands it from, you know, our relationship with God to our relationship with others. Now, what Jesus does is he uses somewhat of an illustration, or he uses a parallel, however, whatever you want to call, beginning at verse 30, but he gives us now the account of the Good Samaritan. Begin reading with me at verse 30. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Certain men went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves," or robbers. "And they stripped him of all his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and he bandaged up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, and giving them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you." Verse 36, "So which of these three do you think was his neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Now, let's use the priest and the Levite mainly as our examples today. But I just want to pose a question as we look at this. If you were going down Jericho Road, and here lay this guy, half dead, beaten up, and he's laying over here in what we would call the ditch, where would you walk? On which side of the road would you have gone? Would you have just passed him by as the priest and the Levite? Would you have taken him and cared for him like the Samaritan? Let's key our thoughts for just a moment, and as we go through the lesson here, on the priest and the Levite. First of all, let's be reminded that way back in the book of Deuteronomy, there's even specific instructions given. Now, if your neighbor's ox falls in the ditch, you get him out. If he's not home, you take care of him. You're responsible for that ox or his animal until he comes home. So you take care of it as it would be your own. And when he comes home, then you take it and you give it back to him. And you see that your brother's donkey or your brother's ox is safe. And you make sure you do everything you can to keep it safe till you can get it back to him. Now, numerous lessons comes from that of the ox falling in the ditch. But what I want us to learn is, this priest and the Levite should have had at least some principles of truth of this instilled with them, that they did care for other people. If an animal got loose, they were to protect it and take care of it. Surely they would someone laying in the ditch. But as we're going to see in this reading, and as we key now on the characters in this reading, we can see at least 3 different philosophies that I believe are set forth. And let's address those first of all, as we sometimes have philosophies of how we deal with others and how we deal with God and how we work and worship in our life. First of all, let's consider the thieves. You know, not much is said about the thieves, but the thieves had this philosophy. When they saw this fellow on the Jericho Road, they thought, "Well, what's yours is mine, and I'll just take it." So they robbed him. They took it against his will. They could have become envious. They were jealous. But more than likely, they were just scoundrels. I read by history that this road was very dangerous, that there were many thieves and robbers, and to travel by yourself was putting yourself in great danger. But a thief and a robber, they believe, well, you know, what's yours is mine. If you ever had your house broken into, that's the feeling that you get. They take what they want of yours, regardless of what value you put on it or how you would like to have had it or protect it or keep it the rest of your life. They take what is yours and they make it theirs. That was the philosophy of these thieves. And then there is the priest and the Levite. Their philosophy seemed to be quite different in that they were selfish and they were inconsiderate and they were incompassionate. Rather than, as the thief says, "Well, what's yours is mine," the priest and the Levite's philosophy was, "Well, what's mine is mine. And I'm just going to, you know, I'm self-sufficient. I'm not going to help anybody. I'm not going to pause." They were uncompassionate. One passed by and the other one even went over and took a look at the guy. And then he went on. And so their philosophy is readily apparent in that when they came by and they saw him, they were just uncompassionate and said, "What's mine is mine." And then there is a Samaritan who came by. If you remember there in verses 33 through 35, he came by, he had compassion on him, he went over and he bound him up, he put him on his animal and he took him to the inn, he took care of him overnight, and then he says, "What else you need? I'll pay for it." Now this Samaritan, rather than being a scoundrel like the thieves, or rather being inconsiderate like the priest and the Levite, we find here this Samaritan who was compassionate. He was caring. He was more neighbor-like. And so his philosophy was, rather than the thieves that believe, "Well, what's yours is mine," or the priest and the Levite who believe that "what's mine is mine," the Samaritan had this philosophy: "What's mine is yours, and I'll help you." And he did. And he provided for him. He had compassion on him. So he went and he took care of him. Now, we know and we've heard lessons on lessons, and they're all good. Well, it should have been the priest and the Levite that should have helped him to start with. It should not have been the Samaritan. They were enemies, and, you know, the list goes on and on. We can find all different contrasts in their lives. But yet, when we look at this story, it was this Samaritan who took the time and took care of him. Well, what I want us to focus our attention today on the choices of the priest and the Levite. I want to make some suggestions about their frame of mind and their course and the course of life that they took. I believe that it was a deliberate choice. I believe they chose not to help this man who was laying in the ditch on their own initiative. They came down the road, just like all the others came down the road. They passed by on the other side and didn't help him. He was their Jewish brother, you might say. And they should have helped him. He was in a terrible state and they should have helped him. But it was a deliberate choice that they didn't help him. They chose within themselves to just go on by. Now we're going to look at maybe some excuses here. Now, you know, we're all good at making excuses. I don't know. We say, "Oh, now you take a little child. And a little child learns really quick on how to make an excuse. They know how to get by. They know how to flip the switch on mom and dad. They know. But do you know, adults make excuses too. I just wonder sometimes if we're guilty at making excuses when we have responsibilities and we just sort of walk by on the other side of the road. We're on the wrong side of Jericho, if you will. And some of the excuses that seem apparent to me in looking at this is some could have said, or maybe the priest and the Levite said, "Well, you know, this road's too dangerous, and right, this man laying in the ditch it proves that. And so this road is so dangerous, it's not safe for me to stop and help this man, so I'm going to go on." Could have made that. You know, sometimes we make that excuse. I'm just too busy. How many times is there an opportunity to help somebody and we sort of think about it and say, "Well, I'm not sure the outcome of this opportunity." And we sort of reason on it a little bit more. "Well, I'm just not sure that this is a good thing. And really, we're not wanting to do it anyway." And so we just reason a little bit more and say, "Well, you know what? Because I don't know the outcome, I'm just not going to do anything." It's sort of like the priest and the Levite. They could have said, "Well, you know what? I don't think I'm going to stop. This man here was ambushed. And if I stop, it just may be another setup. I may be laying in the ditch too. So because I don't know what's going to happen and because I don't know the outcome, then I'm not willing to help this man or to sacrifice to help. He may just be a decoy." You see, excuses come rather quickly. They could have said, "Well, I've got to go to the temple and I need to be there on time. I don't need to get blood on me. If I get blood on me, then I cannot go into the temple until tomorrow." They may have even concluded this, as we do sometimes in dealing with others. You know, that person really needs help. I just couldn't imagine someone laying in the ditch and the priest and the Levite, the Jewish brethren, going by and looking at him and him in that kind of shape, and then they're saying, well, you know, that person really needs help. Are we guilty sometimes of seeing lost souls and say, you know, that person really needs help, and then not provide the help? Which side of Jericho are we on? Which side of Jericho are we on? You know, we could go on and on with excuses. Well, there's nothing I can do for him. He's already beat up and he's laying over there. You know what I'll do? I'll just keep walking. I'll pray for him. I'll pray for you, brother. You ever had somebody do you that way? They're not religious at all. They don't care about anything going to church. They don't care about God. And you tell them, I'll pray about you, brother. That could have been their sentiment. You know, praying is good, and praying is right, but sometimes prayer is not the right action to take. And we need to think about that. We could be on the wrong side of Jericho, and we need to really ask ourselves, when we make our own decisions, as they made their own decision, as they chose their own way, are we choosing the way of the Lord? Are we choosing the path of least resistance? Are we deciding that, well, over here is where the Christians are, and I want to be a Christian, but I want all the way over here on the other side of Jericho where there's no requirements. You know, people don't care. Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and does not receive my words has one that judge him. If we don't behave and act like a Christian, we're not a Christian. Jesus says, you know a tree by its fruit. You know a Christian by its fruit. They made a decision, and so do we. We make a decision in every act of life. We make a decision. You know, I wish more people today would do as Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You know, I've always greatly appreciated school teachers. Because the school teacher is caught in a place where children not taught in the home, they're put in their classroom, they have tried to instill within them some moral sense or some moral compass, and as they work with these kids and they go right back into the same environment at home, then the children are learning bad things at home, and it's a constant struggle to take that child and put it in with maybe 20, 30 other kids and get the right behavior. Joshua had the key. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I wish people would understand, as we choose which side of Jericho that we walk on, we could choose as Jesus admonished us and says, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ. We live in a day and age where everything is high speed, fast paced, easy to get to, easy to deal with, and everything is right at our fingertips. There is nothing like serving God. I think sometimes we're looking for this special something that we can just offer to people and, oh yeah, I want to be a Christian and that's it. It's sort of like, you know, going to the doctor and he gives you the old penicillin shot. You know, it'll help about anything. And I think sometimes rather than using what we've got, and that is the power of the gospel, that we run all the way over to the edge of Jericho and we don't use what is the most effective tool in converting others, and that is the truth. It is the truth. And the reason being, sometimes, most of the time, is we're just not willing to make the right decision. Now, the priest and the Levite made a wrong decision. But, you know, with decisions comes consequences. Let me give you a few things to think about. You remember back in Genesis, Lot and Abraham had to separate. The flocks was too big. The herdsmen were not getting along. And Lot, he looks down and hears this beautiful plain. And it just looks like I imagined the perfect place for he and his herdsmen to go and just flourish. The Bible says in verse 12 of Genesis 13 that it was an area, it was a way towards Sodom. He made a decision. He could see these grassy plains. He could see the luscious fields. He could see that. And his decision took him right into that. But also it took him to Sodom. With decisions come consequences. Here's a man who ends up in a terrible, terrible city just because the appearance of things right before him, that lay right before him, he couldn't see beyond. We need to make right decisions as a Christian to share and to teach the gospel and to live right before God. And it's not that we just look at things close to us or that we look at things always at a distance with heaven in view. We look at them both. And we see them both. We don't look at one as more important than the other. Some people today, I have denominational friends, all they talk about is heaven. And they have never had remission of sins. They don't care about remission of sins. They don't care about the gospel. All they want to hear is something about this better place way over there somewhere. You sing a song so they'll cry about it. And they have never prepared to go. They're so far-sighted that they're way over here on the side of Jericho where they're in trouble. You remember Moses? I like this example. Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the children of God, people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Oh, if we could just get people to see that. He wouldn't have wanted for anything. You ever really wanted to? I remember one time we were in, Pam and I were in Lowe's and we were looking around and we wanted some kind of a flyer there. And the best I remember, the flyer was probably about $12 or so. And we was stirring around there and really didn't have the $12 to buy the flyer. And we looked down here, laid a $20 bill on the floor. First thing come to my mind was, there's my flyer. But it wasn't my $20 bill. So I took the $20 bill and gave it to the clerk. Now, I really wanted that flower, but not with somebody else's money. You know, that's the way a lot of people are. Do anything to achieve their own goals, even if it's wrong. They'll make decisions that hurt them. Moses wouldn't have to have had $12 to get a flower. He probably could own the whole nursery. He probably, if there was a Lowe's back then, he probably wouldn't have to go to Lowe's. He could have just commanded or asked and anything would have been brought to it. But no, he chose to suffer with God's people. He was on the right side of the Jericho Road. Now, let me give you a couple more examples and then we'll bring our lesson to a close. You remember Daniel in Daniel 6? You know, sometimes decisions puts us in a tight spot. Daniel here was told, he says now in Daniel 6 and verse 7 is where I'm turning to, the king made a decree, and the decree was that there nobody would petition God, actually the scripture says God or man, for 30 days except the king. Well, Daniel was used to praying. And Daniel prayed. Because he was talking to his God. He made a right decision. Nobody would disagree with the fact that he made a wrong decision. He made a right decision. But what happened to him? With his right decision, he ended up in the lion's den. In the lion's den. I don't want a squirrel after me. Let alone a lion. What about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Don't worship or don't bow the knee or anything unless it's unto the king. Because if you worship an image, you're going to be burning this fiery furnace. And they did. They worshiped God. They ended up in a fiery furnace. The Apostle Paul, and it's interesting to me that in Acts of the 9th chapter, he was preaching under the heading of Saul. But he was preaching, and if you remember, we'll not take the time to read all this, but he went down there preaching. They said, "Oh, hey, we remember you, Saul of Tarsus, or Saul, you was the one up here persecuting Christians. You're down here tricking us, and what you're doing is you're preaching, and then you're going to persecute us." And so they got after Saul, and he had to escape. Now, did Paul make a right decision by preaching and teaching the truth? Absolutely. But they recognized him as Saul. Now, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he made a right decision. How did he get out of that lion's den? The Lord closed the mouth of the lions. You know, when we choose to walk on the right side of Jericho, there's tough decisions. And there are circumstances that come with those decisions. But the Lord will take care of us. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What happened to them? Oh, they should have been consumed nearly immediately. But when they come out of there, there was not even the smell of smoke on their clothes. God delivered them. What about Paul, when Paul was preaching there, and they said, "We're going to kill you." As a matter of fact, they planned to kill Paul. What happened to Paul? Well, he was let down in a basket, and he escaped. See, with difficult decisions, comes difficult circumstances sometimes. Being a Christian is difficult at times. Walking on the right side, and I'm talking about the right way of Jericho, the Jericho Road, is tough sometimes. It's tough. It's a popular way when it comes to the majority. It's a popular way. It's a popular way when we look at how people just live the way they want to, do the way they want to, and so on. But you know what? I find in the Bible several characters that are not very popular, but were very rewarded. You remember in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Can you imagine what it was for this rich man to live in all his plundery that he had, and here was this poor beggar that was laid outside the gate, and the only people that, or only thing that come to him was the dogs. You know, you look at that and you'll say, I tell you right now, this rich man had it made. He lifted up his eyes in hell. But here is Lazarus, deplorable condition. And he was carried to Abraham's bosom. Now, was Lazarus unpopular? I think he was. I don't think that the rich man there wanted to see him out there continually begging. I don't think that was his intention at all. As a matter of fact, he was rewarded. He was carried to Abraham's bosom. So it's not things of this world that is on the right side of the Jericho Road. It's the Lord that we must follow. It's the Lord that we must follow. You know, some people look at the priest and the Levite. Well, it's the easiest way, and it's the least expensive way, and it's an easy way to go, and you know, your life flows, and you do whatever you want to, and if you're looking at sin from that standpoint, they're right. They're right. If you want to have an easy life, don't do anything good. If you want to have an easy life, you're going to be lost. If you want to live in the pleasures of sin, you're going to be lost. Now, I didn't figure that out, and nobody else. The Bible says that. The Bible says that. But a lot of people like this popular, easy way of living. Let me make another point. some churches like this popular, easy way of living. Let me illustrate it. There's a fellow in Atlanta, Georgia, who's looking for a place to eat. So he went down through the Yellow Pages and he was looking at the restaurants. When he looked at the restaurants, he came up on one that struck his curiosity. And it was called the Church of God Grill. And so he, wondering if this really was a restaurant or some trick or something, he decided to call them up. And he says, I'm in town, I'm looking for a good place to eat, and listed in the restaurants is the Church of God Grill. And as a matter of fact, when he called, that's how they answered the phone, Church of God Grill. He said, now I'm curious, he says, if this is a restaurant, do you serve food, or is this a church, or what? He says, no, the guy on the phone said, let me explain it to you. He said, years ago, we was the Church of God. He said, we decided that we was going to get together and we would have a fellowship and we'd all just eat here at the building and we'd have a good time. And we did. And then we noticed that people would come and they wanted our fried chicken that some of the ladies were frying. And so, you know, it became very popular. And so we had several people coming just for the fried chicken. Now, not for the church. He says, matter of fact, he says, we're no longer a church. He said, don't get the wrong idea. He said, now we just sell fried chicken. Now, you see what happened there? The easiest way for them was to sell chicken and not try to follow God. Now, I'm just making this by comparison. The easiest way for them to get a crowd was by chicken rather than worship. I fear, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are facing a trend like that today. We're seeing churches of Christ. I'm not talking about denominationalism. We're seeing churches of Christ that are looking at not the right thing to do, but what draws the biggest crowd. If it's entertainment, take this out of here and put in the special lights and whatever it is. If it's some sort of gymnastics, then widen the aisle and turn them loose. No. It's the wrong side of Jericho Road. My friends, we need to make sure that we're pleasing to God in everything. We could fill this building and more by gimmickry, by entertainment, by the pleasures of the things of this world. But God's not pleased. God's not pleased. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. Which side of Jericho Road are you on? As far as the church is here, we need to examine everything we do to make sure we're in the truth. As an individual, are you today where you need to be with God? Are you walking as you need to walk with God? Have you chosen things that you should have done and didn't do, and to shun your responsibility, you went all the way over here to the other side of Jericho Road and you didn't do what you should have done? Are you in need today of making your life right? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you're struggling with sin today, let me offer you a suggestion. Don't play around with it. And come to the Lord and do it the right way. Don't be misguided. Don't be led astray. Don't listen to those who's way over here, not only on the wrong side of Jericho, but they're falling over the edge. Sometimes I say Jordan, but see, I'm talking about Jericho. They fall over the edge. Come to the Lord and come the right way. By hearing and believing the Word of God. Why? Well, it is God's message that saves. Repenting of our sins. Well, we can't carry our sins in the Lord, and we surely can't carry our sins in heaven. So we need to repent and change our ways to meet the Lord's way. We need a change of self. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God because you believe that with all your heart. Not just because someone says, can you say this? But because you really, truly believe it. And then be baptized because you know, you understand and you desire to be forgiven of your sins. That'll put you on the right road. Can we help you today? If you need help, make your way to the front and we'll assist you as together we stand and sing.